Psalm 34, that's where we'll be at. A couple weeks ago, we preached through Psalm 27, which talks about how David was encouraging us to, you know, wait on the Lord, trust in the Lord. When you're in hard times, seek the Lord's face and He'll get you through it. And then we come to Psalm 34, where David, God did bring him through a hard time. And so I won't get into the sermon before we actually start preaching. So Psalm 34, you can go ahead and stand when you find your place. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Remember a couple weeks ago, David said, when God told him, seek my face, David said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then David says here in verse 4, I sought the Lord, so David obeyed, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Thank God. And such as be of a contrite spirit, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So let's look there again in Psalm 34 in verse 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That should be our attitude, isn't it? He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Is there anything better than someone whose heart is full of singing towards God? Now, I told you the other week when we were talking about Psalm 27, how when I'm walking through the store and I see someone who's, I know you all remember this part of the sermon, but I'm going to repeat it anyways. When I'm walking through the store and someone's talking or they're singing a song, usually it's not a Christian song, but if they're singing a song, I don't want to hear what they're singing. I wanted to keep it to themselves because I'm trying to get in the store and focus on what I need and get out. I don't want to hear what you're singing, you crazy weirdo. Keep it inside. So you don't have to be singing out loud because probably critical people like me will be judging you. But your heart can be full of song all the time. And that's what David is saying, is that I will bless the Lord continually. His praise will always be in my mouth. Well, I guess so David was the kind of person to sing out loud in the store. If his praise is in his mouth, then David was singing out loud. Okay, so I would judge David. So I'm not a very good Christian, but here I am preaching. So David, his heart is full of song to the Lord at all times. Have you ever met anybody like that? Who it's just, you're talking to them and they may not be actually singing the song, but you can't help. But in every word that they tell you, you hear wonderful grace of Jesus. Or you hear, praise Him, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. Or you hear them say, in times like these, you need an anchor. In times like these, you need a Savior. I have an anchor, And I'm very sure in my anchor. In every word, you can hear them sing songs like that. They may not be saying it, but it's in their face, it's in their voice, it's in their word choice, everything. It's just flowing out of them. Their heart is full of song. Have you ever met somebody like that? That's what David is saying, that his heart will be. You know, when I think about that, I think about, we called her Grandma Riley. I don't know how many of you were here to meet Miss Riley. I think about half of you came after she had passed away, but Miss Riley was just always happy, always joyful. I can still hear her, you know, whenever we would meet her and she would say, "Hey, baby," I can hear how she would say that. And everyone was baby to her because she was everybody's grandmother. And she sat right, well, where we sit now, right behind Brother Kiros and Miss Kiros. And she sat right there in the same spot every time. And I can still hear her voice. And I can still remember just seeing her at church. And she was always happy about something. And I know she was hurting a lot in her older age. But it was overflowing. She had music in her heart all the time. And I can't remember. Maybe someone can remember. Could she sing? Or would she kind of keep it to herself? She was in choir. Okay, so I wasn't paying attention very well. I was little. But she could, you could just tell, even if she couldn't sing, you could see it in her face that she had that the music of joy and praise for God in her heart all the time. You could just see it in her eyes. You could hear it in her voice. And David's saying, "That's my heart. My heart is full of song towards God, praise towards God. My mouth is full of praise towards God. I don't want to say anything else. His praise is what I will fill my mouth with at all times." He continues to say, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Now, I've met some people who they boast in anything and everything. I've met some people who, I used this example in Sunday school, and most of you weren't here, so I'll use it again. Some people who, you know, they're in a terrible trailer or a terrible apartment and it's just falling apart. They've got, you know, all the windows are broken and there's water damage everywhere and the lights don't work and the porch has holes in it and the stairs, you can't get up the stairs because instead of like this, their stairs are like this. And it's just awful. The grass is up to your knee, or you go to the apartment and it's dirty, it's worn down. But their Camaro sitting in the front yard sounds amazing. They get up and they go to their four-hour shift at KFC, and everybody in the neighborhood knows about it because of how amazing their Camaro is. Listen, their boast is in that Camaro. Their boast is in, "Look at my car. I can get to KFC faster than any of you." Okay, well, I can mow my yard faster than you, buddy, so... But their boast was in their Camaro. But have you ever met a person whose boast is in the Lord? It's just nothing else that they have, nothing else that they've done really matters very much to them. But you know from every conversation you've had with them, even if you don't know them, you can see that person's a Christian. Because they're not proud of anything else, but you can tell they're boasting in the Lord. I think about a friend of mine I had in college. His name was Brad. And Brad went to jail before college, but he went to jail and he had a past and God had saved him and worked in his life and brought him from the least person you would have expected to be a Christian. And I met him in Bible college. It was interesting because he was in Florida, and when they had released him from prison, none of his family had come to pick him up, and he had just been saved in prison. And so all he had was his Gideon's Bible, and I got to see it. He wasn't allowed to show people sometimes because the school just wanted to make sure, you know, "We don't know you. We want to make sure you're not going to, like, glorify your life of sin." But he went against the school's rules, and he showed me. And maybe I shouldn't be telling you that. So, sorry, Heartland, don't be listening. Brad's great. He already graduated, so that's fine. But all he had was his Gideon's Bible, and he said, "Well, God, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to start walking." So he started walking down the county road. And just at the point, he had been walking for a while, and he was just about out of hope. And he said, "God, I don't know what to do." And a car pulled up. And in that car was a DHS agent. The DHS agent rolled down his window and he said, "You want to go to church?" And so Brad got in the back seat with that agent's daughter and rode with him to church. And from there, it was just one step after another that God brought Brad along. And then I met him in Bible college. And my first thought when I met him was, what is wrong with this guy? Because there was something wrong with him. But as I got to see him grow over the 4 years that I knew him, he was called to preach and he was called into missions. And now he's back in Florida serving at his home church. And he's preparing to go to the mission field. But every time I talked to Brad, it was clear he wasn't proud of anything else. Nothing else mattered to him. But he was boasting in the Lord. Dad, you've met him. Mom, you've met him. It was just bubbling out of him that if you didn't know him, Brad's the kind of person who would go up to you, a complete stranger, and start having a conversation with you like he had known you for 10 years. It was kind of annoying if you didn't know him. But you could tell just from that first conversation, this guy's a Christian. This guy's proud of being a Christian. Have you ever met someone like that? That's what David is saying. He's saying, my boast is in the Lord. Everyone knows I serve God. That's my boast. I don't care about, I've slayed Goliath. I don't care about fighting the bear and the lion. I don't care about any of the work that I've done. You know, I can play the harp with the best of them. And I don't care about that. I don't care if anyone knows about any of that. My boast is in God. And that's what David is saying his heart is. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 says this. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So God's saying, look, don't boast in your riches, don't boast in your might, don't boast in your wisdom, but if you boast, boast in this, that you know me, that I'm the Lord, that I am kind, I am loving, I am long-suffering, I am patient, I am righteous. Let that be what you're proud about, that I know God, and nothing else matters, but my boast is in God. So David's saying, I will always praise God continually. I will always boast in God continually. And it was pouring out of him. It was flowing out of him. And he says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, every time I talk to Brad and we were talking about how God was working in his life and how he was growing and what he was trying to do, Brad was always witnessing to somebody. And every time I would talk to him about it, I always came away happy. When your boast is in God and you're proud about what God is doing in your life, in the life of others, how God is using you, when that is your boast, the people who believe in God, the humble, they're filled with joy. They can't help but be happy when they're around you because you're sharing that with them. And then in verse 3, David says this. He's filled with praise. He's boasting in the Lord. And so what does someone like that want to do? In verse 3, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He doesn't want to do it by himself. Now he will. He can. We see plenty of times that he did. By himself, surrounded by enemies. And David said, I'm going to praise the Lord. But someone like that doesn't want to do it by themselves. You know, Brad was always reaching out to somebody, trying to witness to them. There's a lot of stories in this sermon. I'm sorry. But there, I remember one time we were working at a Hobby Lobby warehouse, okay? And Brad was kind of a good influence on me and started giving tracks to everybody who worked there. So I bought like a track wallet. That thing was full. We'd leave them out on all the tables in the break room. We'd leave them in like the restrooms. We'd go like hand them out to people while we're working. And it got to the point where the management came to us and said, guys, you can't give the stuff out at work. And their excuse was, it's like outside soliciting or whatever. Can't give it out. Well, so then the next day, Brad's giving it out to somebody. And he's talking to someone about the gospel, giving them a track. And guess who comes around the corner? It was two managers. And so I kind of like intercept them, and I'm like talking to them. I'm just chatting with them, right? And I'm like, Brad, stop, Brad. But Brad doesn't care because he wants someone to come with him. He's boasting in the Lord. So the management told him to stop doing that, but he didn't. I mean, he did right then because he wasn't going to tell him, no, I'm not going to stop doing that. But you know what I mean. Brad wanted other people to come with him. Miss Riley, she was always witnessing to people. She was always talking to new people. She never met a stranger either. She could talk to anybody. I can't remember she was in the choir, but I can remember that about her. And she was just full of joy and praise. And Brad and Miss Riley and people like them, their boast is in the Lord. They're full of praise towards God. Brad can't carry a tune in a bucket. I love him to death, but I never want to hear him sing. But he's full of song. He's full of praise towards God. And people like that want other people to come with them and sing with them and praise with them. And so David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So in these first three verses, you can't help but see the joy just pouring out of David. So why does he feel this way? Look there in verse 4. This is why David feels this way. He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So David is on an emotional high, if you will. That's probably not the best phrase to use while you're preaching, but you understand what I'm saying is that, look, David sought the Lord. We talked about it from Psalm 27 the other week. When thou said unto me, seek my face, I said unto thee, Lord, thy face will I seek. And so David says in verse 4, I did seek the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. And so David can't help but sing praise to the Lord. He can't help but boast about what the Lord is doing because of how God delivered him from his fears. Sorry, I gotta turn the page on my notes. I can't remember what's next. Oh, I did remember this. So the... y'all have the little titles for the Psalms in your Bible. That's not like actually scripture. But so just use your imagination and follow with me for a second. My Bible says that David wrote this psalm after he went before Abimelech, who was the Philistine king. David went into his, he was brought into his court, and he was surrounded by enemies on all sides. And David changed his behavior, and he started acting like a crazy person. We saw a lot of those in Oklahoma City. And he let his spittle fall down on his beard, and he was crazy. This guy had rabies or something like that. And God used that to deliver him from Abimelech, because the Philistines are like, whoa, something's wrong with this guy. Get him out of here. We don't want any of what he's got. And so they kicked him out of the court, and God delivered him. Now, I don't know why they think that's when David wrote this psalm. I don't know if that's when David wrote it. It really could be a thousand other times in David's life. But either way, David saw God deliver him from his fears. And that's why David is full of praise. That's why David is boasting in the Lord. Because he has seen God move in his life. A couple weeks ago in Psalm 27, David wrote this. He said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not in the land, not in heaven, not in the next life. He expected to see the goodness of the Lord now in the land of the living before he died. And so he would not faint because he expected to see God. And then he encourages us, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's what David is saying. He could say that in Psalm 27 because of times like Psalm 34. He has seen God work, and so he can tell us, look, God worked for me before. I know he'll work again. And so I will not faint because I trust that I will see his goodness. And you can too. Wait on the Lord. That was David's encouragement, his exhortation to us. Wait on the Lord. He will strengthen you. Now we understand that sometimes God doesn't take our troubles away. We wish He would for everything. And we understand that sometimes God gives us grace to get through it, and that's what we need. And He's good. He shows us His goodness that way. But sometimes God does deliver us from our troubles. Haven't you ever had a difficulty where you just said, God, I don't know what to do. I know that I'm following You. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But here I am surrounded by trouble on every side, and there's not a single thing I can do about it. God, I need You. And then God delivers you from your fears, from your troubles. Have you ever had a time like that? What should our response be in times like that? We should respond the same way that David did. He said, I will sing God's praise forever. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's how we need to respond when God delivers us from our problems. After David's victory, all he wanted to do was exhort other people to praise with him. Look there in verse... Oh, I skipped over this verse. He says there in verse 6, Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, I know I just said it, but there's times where you're in difficulty, in hard times, in troubles, and in your heart you say, God, I'm a poor man. I'm weak. I don't know what to do. I need You. And then God hears you and your heart says, this poor man cried unto God. And the God of heaven, the God of all creation, heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then we respond the same way that David did. And whenever David saw God work in his life, he wanted other people to rejoice with him. He wanted to teach other people, look, I followed God and God helped me. God was there for me. Follow God too. Let me show you how to follow God. Let me teach you. And so then we come to verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just try it. Just come see for yourself. Like, have you ever gone to a good restaurant that nobody knows about? And you try to explain it to him, but you say, you just got to go yourself. You've just got to go taste and see. There's a Mexican restaurant in Oklahoma City. And it's in the ghetto, the bad part of town. I wouldn't want to go there, but it's the best Mexican food I've ever had in my life. And I have this thought that the most authentic Mexican food places have the worst parking lots. And I don't know how to explain that, but it's true. They all do. And so this one's parking lot was just awful, but the food was amazing. And I couldn't explain to you why. Sometime you've got to go to Oklahoma City and try La Salsa Grill. I can't even say it right. There's an E after grill. That's how authentic it is. G-R-I-L-L-E. Good yay, or something like that. That's how authentic this food is, and it's good, and I can't explain it to you, but you've got to go taste and see. And David's saying, look, God has been good to me. God has helped me and delivered me. Taste and see. Just try it. And the Bible gives us examples of people who have been like that. Mark your spot in Psalm 34, and I want you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look there in verse 35. John 1, 35. Again, the next day after... John stood and two of his disciples. Now this is John the Baptist. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Now John is sitting here with his two disciples and Jesus walks by and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And he turns around and his disciples are gone. Where'd you go? They saw the Lamb of God. They went to go follow Him. And so what happened after that? Then Jesus turned and saw them following. And saith unto them, what seek ye? What do you want? Then they said unto Him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? That's kind of a strange question to ask somebody. But you know, you can tell a lot about someone by where they live. If this is the Lamb of God, we should probably... Where do you live? If they know where he lives, they can go back and find him later. They can know a lot about him. They can know how humble he is. Because the Lamb of God didn't live in a mansion, didn't live in a palace. But they asked him, Master, where livest thou? Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, what are the next three words? Come and see. What are the next four words? They came and saw. Where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So John says, there's the Lamb of God. There's the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. And they went and they asked, where do you dwell? They went and saw. They had to go see for themselves. In Psalm 34, David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't take my word for it. Go look yourself. Here in John, John's disciples, well, John tells them, there's the Lamb of God. And they went and saw for themselves. Look a few verses later in John 1. There in verse 45. Now, Jesus has been calling various disciples. Then we find Philip. In John 1, 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Nazareth is the bad side of town. You don't go through Nazareth at night. Can any good person, any good thing come from Nazareth? And Philip didn't tell Nathanael, just trust me, this is a good guy. What did Philip tell Nathanael? Philip saith unto him, come and see. People who have tasted the Lord and found him to be good, people who have seen God work, they don't want you just to trust them. I don't want you just to trust me that God has worked in my life and I've seen God work. I want you to see it for yourself, because when you see God work, when you feel God work in your life, it's unbelievable. So come and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can turn back to Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Look in verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Now, wait a minute. The kings of the jungle do lack. The king of the jungle gets hungry sometimes because he can't find anything to eat. Y'all remember that song from Children's Church? Who is the king of the jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who is the king of this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do the rest of the song. But even they lack. Even they want hunger. The most feared beast in the jungle. But the people who trust in the Lord, there's no want of any good thing. Keep reading there in verse 10. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And so then David continues to instruct people how to follow God. There in verse 11, he says, come ye children, hearken unto me, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord got David through his time of trouble, and he wants to teach other people the fear of the Lord as well. There in verse 12, what is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Now, I love life. I want to see many good days. So who is that? David's asking. In verse 13, he says, keep thy tongue. Now, wait just a minute. If I want to see good things in my life, if I want to see God work in my life, I'm going to control my tongue? It's kind of strange. Why wouldn't I offer all these things to God? Why wouldn't I say, God, I will, you know, go to Zimbabwe and be on this mission for you. I will do all these great things for you, God. No, he says, if you desire life, if you want to see good in your days, keep your tongue. Is that simple? Well, it's not really that simple. Have you ever tried to control your tongue? Especially as a teenager when you're talking to your parents? Now, I know none of you struggled with this, but I sure did. I got in so much trouble because I could not stop talking. I could not control my tongue. Where did I get that from, Dad? Mom? David says, if you want to see good, if you love life, keep your tongue. Jesus says that we'll be judged by every idle word. Even the casual chit-chat that you have with your friends or your family, that's going to be brought up before God's judgment throne. That kind of scares me. It should scare you. And we understand we are eternally secure because of we've believed in Christ, and we know we're not going to not go to heaven because we've believed in Christ. But we're still going to be judged by the words we've said, the idle words that we've said. But if you want to see life and good days, keep your tongue. That's how you follow God. Jesus kept his tongue, didn't he? God's words are very important. God never spoke an idle word that was not important. God created the universe by his words. Your words are important to God. He cares about what you say. So if you want to see good, keep your tongue. David goes on to say, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You want your life to be full? You want your days to feel like they've been many, many days? Depart from evil things. You know, Job was a righteous person. Job eschewed evil. That means he ran from evil. He fled from it. He didn't want to be around evil. But even after all the things fell upon him, the thieves stole his riches, the whirlwind killed his children, his health was taken from him, his marriage with his wife was strained because of all the stress that she was going through as well. Even after all these things fell upon Job, he would not reject God. He would not curse God because Job feared God and he eschewed evil. And you know what? After God brought him through that, the afflictions that Job was in, I don't think Job was an ungrateful person. I think Job was a lot like David. I think Job was full of praise towards God, and Job boasted in God because Job fled evil. He departed from evil and he sought that which was good. Do you want your days to be meaningful? Do you want to see good things in your life? Then seek peace with all men. Pride is what stops us from pursuing peace. God says, vengeance is mine, not vengeance is thine. It's not our job to expect people to hold people accountable for how they've sinned against us. And of course, we all understand that's what government is for. God gave us government to punish evil and reward good. We understand that. But it's not our job when someone transgresses against us. We are not God. Seek peace. It's our pride that stops us from forgiving people. We have to be humble and we have to say, I will not make you pay me back for what you've done to me. I don't expect anything in return. I am forgiving you. I want to go on in peace because I want to see good days. I want to see God work in my life like he did in David's life. And if you'll do that, I believe that surely goodness and mercy will follow you. David ends the psalm by giving us concrete truths about God. So when you're going through difficulty, can you always see clearly? You don't always know what's going on. It's like things around you are clouded and you can't see, and you have to cling to what you know is true. So then David gives us truths about God. Look there in verse 15, Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. God hears your cries. Maybe sometimes you feel like this. You say, God, I've been praying, I've been crying to you, and I've been praying and I've been crying to you over and over and over again, and it feels like you don't hear me. Well, in the time of trouble, this is what you need to cling to. God does hear you, even if you don't feel like it. Even if you can't see what's going on around you. God hears you. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I'm so glad that when we are brokenhearted because things have not gone how we thought they would or how they should, because we have been hurt, because people can hurt us. When we're brokenhearted, God is near to you. Even if you don't feel it, you have to cling to it. You have to know that God is near you. And that's how you will get through your troubles. That's how David got through his troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So yes, the righteous are afflicted a lot. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God will not leave you in your troubles. We understand sometimes God will get you through it, and the way that you get out of trouble is you pass from this life to the next. But you will still see God's goodness because he will give you grace to get through it. But also sometimes God does take your hand and lead you through those troubles. And so David says, look, in time of trouble, this is what you need to remember. God has not forsaken you in your time of troubles. Even when you don't see him, even when you don't feel his presence, know that he is there. You have to trust that he has not left you there. He keepeth all his bones. God keepeth the people who trust in him. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. Now look, the people who sin, the people who are constantly pursuing evil, the people who hurt us, the people who are only in it for themselves, evil will slay them. Be sure your sins will find you out. Know that. It's not, don't look at the evil people and don't look at the wicked and envy them. How often does David say things like that? Don't envy the wicked, because we know their end. It's destruction. Keep doing what's right. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. God, your soul is valuable to God. He will redeem your soul because it's his. And David leaves us with this last truth. He says, none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I know a lot of times the suffering that we go through can seem just endless, like there's no end in sight. I know a lot of times life is difficult, and you don't understand. You don't think you can keep going, but no, God has not forsaken you, first of all. And he will redeem your soul. Because you are valuable to him. You're not worthless to him. You see yourself as a poor man who cries to God, but he sees you as something, as a treasure. He treasures you. You're the apple of his eye. And that's why we can sing the song that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Just one glimpse of his dear face, and we'll forget all sorrow. All sorrow will be erased. And what does it say? So bravely run the race. Because we know we're going to see Christ. It will be worth it all. Just keep going. Bravely run the race. Till we see Christ, till Jesus calls us home, and it will be worth it all. Do not give up. You can get through your troubles. You can be filled with joy. You can praise God. You can boast in what God will do because you have trusted in God. Because even in our suffering, God cares for us.